Mel, I am excited about our next guest because...
How could you not be?
How could I not be? That's exactly right. We are going to get to talk to the famous Jack Hodgson. Jack is a writer, technology commentator, special events and new media producer, lecturer, aviation essayist, and he says a really bad golfer. So if you're looking to win some money, you want to get Jack.
Or just feel better about your own score,
right.
Your own par.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, Jack is also the lead on Uncontrolled Airspace, which is one of the longest standing aviation podcast on the web. Am I wrong or right?
I guess
about
it
that,
is
Jack?
Now, you know, but just, I don't know. The joke is we'll get it right eventually. But yeah, we've been doing it for 8 years. I think this is our 8th anniversary coming up. We started it right after AirVenture a bunch of years ago. And so about 2 weeks after we leave here each year, we celebrate the podcast's birthday. And yeah, I think this is 8. We're starting our 9th year.
Excellent.
362 episodes and counting.
362. And I've done at least 3 of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Amy, you've been on a bunch of them.
I've listened to many of them.
The only reason we don't have you on more often, Amy, is because you could easily be more popular than any of the 3 of us.
Yeah,
right?
They just can't handle that.
I get a lot of comments about people from listeners when you come on the podcast. And
Jack is also an essayist for AirVenture Today. He has the Around the Field column. And one of the reasons I wanted Jack to come on the radio was because by Wednesday, I knew that Jack would know everything that was going on at the show. Absolutely everything.
And everything that was going to happen.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Yeah, no.
He clairvoyant, he ain't. That much I know.
No.
So what have you seen?
I've been doing my thing. I wander around. I literally walk up and down the rows in the campgrounds, and anybody who's kind of hanging out by their airplane or in front of their tent, and I'll just walk up and chat with them, and in many cases get their story and write it down for the newspaper and for my website, and chatting with folks about their feelings about AirVenture. And in some ways this is a very typical year. In some ways this year is a little bit different than past years. People are having a good old time. They're happy with the weather. The thing that's different this year is that people are very, very happy with a lot of the changes that have been happening over the last couple of years in EAA and with AirVenture. There was a darker vibe a few years ago, and that's almost amazingly, I mean, at least in terms of how quickly it's happened, that vibe has changed. And people, we saw it last year, and I'm really seeing it this year. People are much, much happier with the atmosphere here and the leadership and the changes and the whole attitude. It's very positive. It's early yet, but it's a good year.
Well, that's a great testament to EAA's response to what people want and what people are. You said there was a darker vibe, so obviously they paid attention.
They seem to have, the leadership is showing themselves to be, you know, real EAAers, and that's a good thing. They're happy. People are happy. It's a good year, and the show's great, and the weather's great. So, you know, what's bad with that?
And they have continued plans to continue the renovations and try and bring more and more.
They do, and I'm always looking forward to AirVenture, but it's a very positive time.
We're talking about a lot more than just correcting the drainage issues in the campground.
No, absolutely. We're talking a bit about, I don't know how to characterize it exactly, there was a little bit of a period in there where it wasn't so much about just kind of getting together in the family of EAA and that kind of thing. It became a little bit more businesslike and a little bit harsher, and the members really, really reacted to that. The members, at least the members I talked to, were not happy with that kind of a vibe. To their credit, the higher up leadership, you know, sort of board level leadership, seemed to have recognized that and just jumped on it and have put a leadership in place now that has a whole different attitude. They're just really regular folks now. I've said this before, and I'm a real Jack Pelton fanboy. I just think what Jack Pelton is doing for this organization is terrific, and it shows in the facility, and it shows in the kind of atmosphere they're here, and it shows in what the members are telling me as I wander around.
And that's the spirit that Paul founded
this.
So it's a nice tribute.
Yes. Yeah. Pelton seems to be very much in line with Paul's original attitude, you know. And I went to the Paul Memorial Service on Sunday evening, and Jack spoke there and talked a little bit about how Paul figured this out 60 years ago, you know, and the values that Paul tried to put in place 60 years ago are the values that we still, you know, to largely carry these to this day. The whole idea of it, EA being community, EA being family, and that's what I like to collect. And when I do my around the field stories, is to talk to people about their grassroots aviation experiences and you know what how they fly throughout the year and the projects they're building and the projects they're hearing about and their activities in their EAA chapter and you know their grassroots home airstrip and I really enjoy collecting those stories and recording them and passing them along.
Well, and I'm hearing that there's a lot more focus on bringing the E back into EAA.
Seems to be. I mean, certainly this year, you know, every year they make improvements to the grounds in different areas. And so this particular year, they've done a lot in the home building area with the workshop buildings and trying to change some of the landscaping. Took down one of the really old hangars. I guess they've got a plan for that ground. So this year, they definitely put a focus on that. But from listening to Jack Pelton talk, he realizes that area of the association has been a bit neglected, and he seems to want to change that.
Yeah.
Well, just putting the One Week Wonder right in Boeing Plaza, directly across from the Member Center, in, you know, top dead center, kind of.
Sure. And not just One Week Wonder, although I'm a huge...
The Build-A-Plane project.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of One Week Wonder, by the way. They did that. But they've really, EAA has taken over that entire Four Corners area now. So it used to be, you know, there were other organizations that took up some of that little crossroads there just west of the West Ramp. And now it's all EAA. And I think it's a very conscious decision to make that a big part of the event here each year.
And I noticed that the Innovation Center is bigger and better than ever. Mm-hmm. College Park.
Yeah, I haven't been in that area yet this week, but I'm looking forward to it. I remember it fondly from last year.
Well, it's been upgraded.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Yeah, I got to walk around there the other day. And just the activity of trying to excite youth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to say there's a lot more, not necessarily focus, because there always has been with the Young Eagles and everything else, but there's a lot more exposure and visibility of what's going on with the Kid Ventures and the Build-A-Plane and different projects.
And obviously, it's a very important initiative. The EAA has to, you know, kind of make itself more diverse in all the different ways, and they seem to be accomplishing that. Again, I've been doing Around the Field here for 16 years now, and I can see that it's changed a bit. It's still largely, you know, older white guys, but it's not nearly as much as it was in the early days. There are a lot more young people here. There are a lot more women here. There are a lot more people of color here, and not just as family members that were dragged along. It's people who seem to be involved in the community and involved in the industry and the building thing and the airplane thing. So progress. We got a ways to go, but there's motion, good motion.
It's investing in our own future.
Yeah,
absolutely. What we're doing.
It absolutely is, you know.
So, Jack, tell us a story. Just one. Give us one that it can be something you've already written about, it's already published this week, that really struck you.
Oh, I don't know. You know, so many stories. It's hard to focus on just one. One of the things that's amazing to me is that, I wander up and down the rows and just chat with people who seem interesting and seem like they aren't involved with something else because I don't like to disturb people. But it's amazing that you walk up to people and they all look like just regular people, and then you talk to them for a few minutes and you realize that over time you talk to all sorts of kinds of people. I mean, you talk to doctors and you talk to stockbrokers and you talk to plumbers and you talk to, you know, moms, you know, and you just talk to, and they all just seem like regular people. They're all just side by side camping in their tents out there in the field, you know. And I talked to a gentleman a couple of days ago who was just sitting in front of his tent, and there was no airplane near his tent, which is kind of unusual. He was telling me his story. It turns out that he owns this beautiful Fairchild 71, restored sort of largish backcountry bush plane, and that's in fact where we used to fly. And he was just telling me about the adventure of how he got it, and it was literally in an 18-wheeler trailer, you know, when he got it, and he had to put it back together again, and now it's just this. And later in the day, we got a chance to actually go look at that airplane, and man, it was a spectacularly beautiful airplane. And it turns out he actually owns the municipal, not the municipal, but a private airport in his area. And so there's an example of someone who's you know a little bit more well off and is applying that to aviation. But then you go to the other end, and I mean, you know, you got people who don't have quite as much money, but still, you know, they're here because, you know, they either belong to a club and rent, or they are building a plane that's much more economical and that they can afford. And you know, people who are working on their projects, people who are in their active in their EAA chapters, people here for the first time. It's kind of fun to talk to people who've been here. You know, this is their first time ever. You know, and their eyes are just wide open. And you know, it's like, wow, this is just incredible how much stuff is going on here. And then the people who've been coming for years and years and years. The story you hear all the time is that after you've come to AirVenture for more than like three or four or five times, not even that many, two or three or four times, you no longer. It's not that you don't come for the airplanes, but you don't come primarily for the airplanes anymore. You come because there are friends that you made here that in the old days, you used to see them and speak to them only here. And now with the internet, people stay in touch
Facebook
much more.
Facebook and everything
right.
else.
But nevertheless, they often only see each other here. You have a whole universe of Oshkosh friends.
It's a homecoming.
That it's totally a homecoming. And it's I keep trying to come up with the best literary comparison. Everyone talks about Brigadoon, Shangri-La kind of thing, you know, but it's a magical place that exists for, you know, 10 days every summer. And we all come back here and reacquaint ourselves with our friends and have a blast.
And it unifies all of that diversity.
It does, you know, and it's doing a better and better job. We got a ways to go, but it's getting better and better, and it's a great opportunity to do that kind of thing.
No question whatsoever. Now, Jack, people can find you in AirVenture today every day
during
the show?
Every day during the show. I have the Around the Field column is in there. And they can also check out it. If you're not here, it's online at airventure.com or airventure.org, excuse me. So all the stories are there. And then as the year progresses, we do a lot of stuff over at my personal website, which is aroundthefield.net. And on Twitter, it's just Around the Field.
Around the Field. Excellent. And then, of course, there's UCAP. What's the address for UCAP?
It's uncontrolledairspace.com. It's our the podcast I've been doing with Jeb Burnside and Dave Higdon for a long time now, and yourself and James and a handful of others.
Terrific. Jack Hodgson, thank you so much for taking the time to come over, and I know how hard it is. You've got open stories sitting on your desk over at AirVenture today.
I got to race back over there.
Taking 15 minutes to come over here and talk with us at Attitude Adjustment. We're going to go to a break. EAA Radio, 1210 AM and 96.5 FM.